Good morning, brothers and sisters. And good morning and welcome to you on Facebook Live. As Casey mentioned last week, we want to involve our youth more. And as you know, we've got part of our youth group on our praise team, which we're so grateful for them. But we want to give our youth a chance to just be part of it each week. And so as Casey said last week, I'm going to just continue on with that. And so I've asked Henry to read some scripture for me today that I'll be referring to in a minute. But let me say this before we go any further. Thank you, praise team, for what you have done for us over the years. And each Sunday we come together. And thank you, Sarah, for helping us understand a little bit about sign language. I don't even know where she went. Well, there she is. And I know that when she's on one side, because we're standing up, it's hard to see her on the other side. So we'll keep moving her around so you can see her. And maybe someday we'll put her on a ladder so you can see her even better. We have a baby dedication day today, too. That's always so exciting. I'm so thankful for the babies of our congregation. Amen? We need little ones in our congregation. We need babies, so keep them coming. Those of you that have forgotten about that, we can use them. We're going to do that in a little while. But first, we're going to talk about some things, and I've asked Henry to read some scripture for us.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. And James 4:7-8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Thank you. Exactly. We were still in the sanctuary in the other building. It was March of 2014, and I embarked on a journey called spiritual warfare. And while I looked back this last month or so in that series, I really didn't study what I said, so I don't know what I said. But I know that we embarked on that spiritual warfare journey for just a few weeks. So it's been 10 years since I've talked about the topic. Over this past winter, I've encountered several things that remind me we are in all-out war. When I talk about we, I'm talking about believers of Jesus Christ. We have an enemy. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? We have an enemy. And we are at war. I'm so thankful for the songs we sang this morning, emphasizing Jesus. I love that song. I think it was the second one we sang. I don't want to leave a legacy. That's Jim. That's Jim speaking. I don't want to leave a legacy. I want us to remember Jesus. And so while I'm going to talk for the next, I don't know how many weeks, I got a couple months worth lined up already. I'll interject my brother Casey here and there, but while I'm going to talk today about spiritual warfare, this is just a scratching of the surface. This is just an overview, because we are going to talk at length about the spiritual war that we are in and how it affects us, how the enemy affects us and will hurt us and will come to church and everything else. And so I haven't talked about this for 10 years, but I decided today I needed to start another series. I wonder sometimes as I read articles and I read books, I wonder how informed the American church or the church in the West, maybe Western Europe and America, I wonder how informed we really are in this battle. And I wonder that because I talk to people in Pakistan, I talk to people in Africa, literally, I've spoken to these people, I read books from missionaries and indigenous peoples in China, and the war there is real. And sometimes I think Christians in America think there isn't a war because maybe we don't believe there's a war, but there's a war that we don't even recognize. There's all kinds of spiritual warfare books out there. I've read plenty of those too. Some are pretty good. Some are pretty informational. Some of them really aren't. I've read some on both sides. And let me say this before I embark on some scripture here. I'm not one looking under every bush for the next demon. Are you hearing me? I'm not that person. But the spiritual realm in which we live is real. And the spiritual battle, I'll talk about the beginnings, not today, because this is an overview. This is a scratching today. I will talk about where did this come from? This spiritual war between God and the devil and the followers of the devil is real. And so I'm not one around looking for a demon under every bush. But we do need to be absolutely aware, if we're going to be victorious in Jesus, we need to be aware we have an enemy. The Bible talks about it from Genesis to Revelation, from front to back. Let me start here. Mark chapter 3. I intentionally didn't have Henry read these two. I intentionally had him read the others. But let me start here in Mark, a couple places in Mark. And he, that's Jesus, went up on the mountain and he called to him those he himself wanted. He called the 12. And they came to him, then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. Why would he say that? Because they're real. And they will mess with people. They will mess with people in the synagogue. They will mess with people in the church. Mark 6, 12 to 14. So they, that's the 12, went out and they preached that people should repent. And they cast out demons and they anointed with oil many who were sick and they healed them. That's the 12. Now to Mark 16. Still in Mark. Mark 16, 15 through 18. Almost everybody knows, if you know anything about the Bible, you know the Great Commission from Matthew's standpoint. Pretty much everybody has either read, Go and Make Disciples of All Nations, or has been exposed to it. Pretty much everybody knows the Great Commission from Matthew 28, 19 and 20. But I'm going to read the Great Commission from Mark 16 today. Listen to what it said. And he said to them, that's Jesus, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Now look at what he says. He who believes, that's an embracing Christ. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. That's what he calls us, repent and believe. And Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Hallelujah, that's good news. But he doesn't stop there. He who does not believe will be condemned. And he doesn't stop there either in the Great Commission from Mark. He said, these are the words of Jesus, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they will. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. That's the commission of Jesus to the church. And some might say, well, Jim, that was for their time. It's not for ours. Anybody that suggests that is missing the great commission of Jesus. He has anointed his church with power over the enemy. Now, we don't want to go there sometimes, or we don't go there because we don't believe we have the power, but this is not just for the 12. It is not just for the 70. It is not just for the people of first century. This is for followers of Jesus. I say that because what I'm going to talk about is heavy. The enemy, Jesus said in John 10:10, came to kill. He will kill you if he gets a chance, except for the grace of God and the restraining power of God. The enemy will take us out if he gets a chance. Jesus said in John 10:10, he came to kill, he came to steal, and he came to destroy. And he will do it if we give him a foothold. Many have questions about the spiritual world. And I hope that during this journey, I can answer some of those questions. As I have been studying about this for the last couple of weeks, the more I study, the more I see could be shared. I don't know how long this journey will take us, but it's going to take us a while. Because I want us to be aware we have an enemy. But many people have questions like, can true believers be demonized? I'm going to explain demonized a little bit. Maybe today, maybe throughout the series. Can true believers be affected, might be another way to put it. If so, what can be done about that? Can believers be hurt by the devil and his followers? I'll answer that question more later, but I'll simply say read the book of Job to answer. Can the devil kill believers? Anybody heard of the situation in Nigeria just lately? Anybody? Yeah, some of you have. Nigeria, hundreds of Christians have been murdered recently by radicals, by Fulani herdsmen, by people who are stirred up in their spirit to kill followers of Jesus. Why do you think that happens? Because that's spiritual war. The enemy hates the things of God. What about church? Can evil spirits work their way into the church? I got a message, I got an email from Brian Thorstedt. A lot of you met Brian, a lot of you heard from him on Zoom not that long ago. I've gotten two emails in the last 2 weeks. Ironically, he didn't know what I was going to have this series, and I didn't know he was going to send me this email. It talks about the devil affecting the church. The number one issue the devil wants to do in the church is divide people in the church. He wants us to fight. He wants us to be angry at each other. He wants us to tear down other believers. That's from the enemy. Can evil spirits attend Sunday services? We're going to talk about that in time too. I read a quote, and I'll share it with you. I thought it was so good, from one of the books by Dr. Ed Murphy that I read, who happens to be an expert in the world of spiritual war. He said this, and I quote, "We Christians, especially in the West, need to relearn the spirit world. We must remove our Western world eyeglasses. which blind us to the biblical worldview of the spirit world, end quote. And so, as I said to you earlier, I'll say it again, this series is about awareness and equipping. Awareness and equipping, because we are at war. The Church of Jesus is at war. We have an enemy. Let me refer back to what Henry read for me a minute ago, Ephesians chapter 6. Paul urges the church, and Casey's right, he said this last week or the week before, maybe both. Paul is writing in Ephesus, he was referring to 1 and 2 and 4, I'm referring to Ephesians 6. Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to believers and followers of Jesus. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Don't take it casually. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why would he say that? Because we have an enemy. And he will take you out. He will take you down if you're not strong in the Lord. Then he said, put on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Why would he say that? Because you can't stand against the wiles of the devil if you don't have on the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why would he say that if it isn't a real possibility? The wiles of the devil to attack you and me and the church and whatever God stands for. Get the armor on, he said, so that you can withstand those attacks. If we don't have the armor on, he will attack, and those arrows and those spears will penetrate us. We're not wrestling, Paul says, against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. That's what we're wrestling against when we are followers of Jesus. We are wrestling against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's what the fight is against. I'm going to get the sandwich today about yelling, but I can't help it. Sorry. Tim could turn me off, then I wouldn't be yelling. Then you just hear me and not through application. But when I read this, friends, I can't help but take this warning seriously. We are at war. And in way too many battles in America, all you have to do is look at the headlines. In way too many battles, we are losing the war. Jesus has been victorious over the devil. We have been given the authority over the devil. But way too often, I don't know if we didn't get on the armor, we didn't care, we didn't think it was real, we didn't think we had the power, I don't know what it's from, but we are losing too many battles to the enemy. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the devil, the evil day, and having done all to stand. Would he be warning us if this were not a reality? Hello, are you with me this morning? Would he be warning us of this if this was not a reality? He wouldn't be. This is a reality. And as Henry read from James, he said, resist the devil. Why would James say that? Because he's real. And he will come at you, and he will work on your mind, and he will work on the church attender's mind and say, you go to church once in a while, you'll be okay. Just don't get too serious with Jesus. That's why James says, resist the devil, because that's what he'll do to you. Let me say this, and I'm going to share a story with you before we do our baby dedication. Whether you claim the name of Jesus today or not, you cannot play with fire and not expect to get burned. You know what I'm saying? I happen to like to play with fire myself, just ask Sherry. One time I had such a good one going at home, I threw a little diesel fuel on. I thought it was gas. I thought it was diesel fuel. Apparently it was gas, so I threw in the match. It blew up, blew my hat off, singed my eyebrows and everything else. But my point is, you mess in the enemy's games, you will get burned. Now, there's three things over the series I want us to know about. Just because you're a follower of Jesus, the enemy will mess with you. Just because he hates God and he hates what belongs to God. So that's reason number one. You got to have on the armor. Reason number two, sometimes it might be unaware, it might be in ignorance, it might be for curiosity, it might be for fun, but sometimes Christians enter into his games. I'll talk about that more, maybe a little today, but more in time. They enter into his games. I don't know why they would do that. I don't know why we would do that, but they do. And number three, the enemy messing with people. Sometimes people are completely innocent, but they have been maybe sexually abused or something. The enemy will use that to torment them until they have been set free. This war is real. And the church needs to be equipped and aware. How do we combat this war? And so when I say, you can't play with fire and not expect to be burned, it don't matter if you're atheist, Satan worshiper, or Christian. We play with fire, we'll get burned. Let me give you an example. I got to move on. Carolyn was at home on furlough to America from South America. Her parents were missionaries, and they came to America. They've been a missionary for years, but they came to America. It was mid-1960s. If you know anything about the 1960s in America, you know it was a time of drug culture and free love. It was taking over California and other parts of America. That's the atmosphere in which these missionaries who had come out of South America on furlough in America, that's the atmosphere in which they came. Carolyn had made some American friends. Carolyn was 14. These friends had introduced her to some rock music that was taking the scene in the Americas, in America in the 1960s. And they also introduced her to some pendants. We might call them charms. We might call them good luck charms. I had a conversation with Pastor Salek about charms one day. Pastor Salek is in Pakistan, and in the whole world of charms, very dangerous, very spiritually connected. That's another story for another time. I don't have time. But anyway, she was introduced to this good luck charm. And Carolyn was starting to show a much different behavior to her parents while they're here in America. And her mom was getting somewhat concerned because dad was off to a conference, a missionaries type conference for several days. And mom was getting quite concerned because Carolyn's behavior was getting really, really strange. So she calls up dad, who's at a conference, and said, last night I went into Carolyn's room. She seemed to be in some kind of trance. She's laying on the floor. And when I called out to her, there was no response. There was no answer. And so mom continued to press on to Carolyn. And in time, she kind of connected with her verbally, and she said, as I spoke to her about her rebellion towards her parents, because there was something happening, there was something changing, her rebellion towards the living God, she suddenly changed before my very eyes. She became hostile. She began to yell at me, and I noticed this mysterious darkness in her eyes. It was not our Carolyn who glared back at me, but another personality, an evil personality, totally unlike the Carolyn we knew and loved. And I was sure it was a demon in my daughter. Mother goes on in the book. The words that came out of her mouth were not Carolyn's words. They were evil. They were defying God. They were cynical. And I spoke to that evil thing and commanded in the name of Jesus to release my Carolyn so I could speak to my daughter. And suddenly her eyes changed and Carolyn was back and in control of herself. Now let me stop. The story isn't quite over, but let me stop here. There's some people who think, Jim, that's just hogwash. I don't subscribe to any of it. Stay with me for the whole series and read your Bible. Remember what I just read from Mark 16, 17? Those who believe will have authority in the name of Jesus over demons. That's what she recognized. We can poo-poo it all we want, and in the West we have for a long time. But it's real. And we play with fire, we'll get burned. We open up the door. I've been telling people this for 20 years because I have been in all kinds of homes. I have been all kinds of places that have been affected by the underworld. And I've said to people over and over and over, you open up the door, the enemy will come in. And she opened up the door. She didn't know it, but she did. And mother recognized something is wrong with my daughter. And the experts in the spiritual warfare would call this demonization, a partial controlling of. Why? Because she opened up the door. Dad finally comes home. Prayed over Carolyn. The evil manifested again. Carolyn went so far as to say, Dad, I don't know what's the matter with me. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't like this weird stuff that's going on in me. Dad said, what's the necklace you have on? What's it supposed to symbolize? Dad noticed she had this new necklace. Well, I don't know. This boy, he's supposed to be a Christian. He gave it to me. He don't really live like a Christian, but he gave me this thing. I don't know what it symbolizes, she said. It's supposed to be some good luck charm. Dad and Mom, upon a little further investigation, realize it's a pentagram she's wearing for a necklace. If you don't know what that is, that's a sign of the enemy, friends. Be aware of the enemy's tactics, friends. This pentagram that she was wearing then began to serve as an amulet, drawing evil spirits into her life. Typically, people would see an amulet or a good luck charm as something to protect us from evil. And it's the opposite. Ask Salek. He'll fill you in on all kinds of those stories. I have. I've talked to him about it. It's happening all over the globe. It may not be as evident here because we don't believe in the power of God to overcome the enemy. But it's real. And she thought she had on a good luck charm when in fact she had a symbol of the devil. And that became that avenue whereby the enemy could affect and influence her. Dad told her, you got to get rid of it. To which she did. But a few days later, 2 a.m. in the morning, Carolyn came running into her parents' room screaming, Dad, they're still after me. I'm afraid they're trying to take a hold of my life, and it seems like they're coming out from under my bed. So back at 2 a.m., they go into Carolyn's room. He said, what do you got on your bed? Well, a few more charms in the box. She said, Dad, please get rid of it. I don't want them messing with me. I'm afraid they have a hold on my life. Dad said, you're the one that brought it in. You're the one that's got to take it out. You must declare that you are making a break from the spiritual world. She did. She burned them. She got freedom from the demonic that wanted to demonize or partially control her. In that book, this whole episode happened to a missionary's daughter. The missionary's world view changed, he said, dramatically right then and there. What does that mean? And I quote from him, "Little did I know, but later came to understand that true believers in Jesus Christ under unusual circumstances of sin can come under partial demonic control," end quote. You open the door, you roll out the red carpet, and the enemy will come in. You say, "Jim, but I claim the name of Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit." That's true. Praise be to God for that. But you open the door, you roll out the red carpet, the enemy will affect you. That's why I said, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. This is a serious game, friends. This life we call life is a serious game. Now, let me close with this so we can dedicate that precious baby. I ask myself as I prepare for this series, and it's going to take us a lot of places, a lot of places. I hope you'll come back. Why would a Christian amass in the occult? Well, in Carolyn's 14 years of experience, she didn't even know what she was doing. But I read these books and I ask myself, because I've encountered all kinds of situations in 20 years, why would a Christian mess in the demonic? Why would we mess in witchcraft? Or as the Bible talks against, about contacting the dead? Or more modern, why would Christians mess in pornography or tarot cards or Ouija boards or horoscopes or Harry Potter stuff? Why would we go there? Why would we open up that door? And I know the arguments that are forming in your minds. I can be in pornography, Jim, and don't hurt me. I can read Harry Potter books and don't bother me. When we start to enter the world of the underworld, it will affect you. When we start fascinating about spells and demons and dragons and dungeons and garbage from the other side, it will affect you. You play with fire, you will get burned. Let me end on a positive. There's victory in Jesus. Greater is he when I have put on Christ by faith, when I have surrendered to the living God, when I have trusted Jesus, repented of my sin, invited Christ to come into my life, had the Holy Spirit of God come into me. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is Jesus. We have an enemy. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. The Bible calls him the God of this age. We have an enemy. But greater is he that is in me. That is Jesus. Greater is he that is in me that is in the world. We do not have to run in fear from the enemy, because Jesus has defeated the enemy. But you open the door, you get messed with. I assure you. And so let me close with that verse I started. We're going to invite Charlie and Melissa and their precious little one forward to dedicate their daughter. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Jesus said, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I know all kinds of people have all kinds of questions. Hey, why did I get sick? Why this? Why that? Why 100 more? We have power in the name of Jesus. And to suggest that the spiritual giftedness of the Holy Spirit or these words of Jesus were effective and relevant for one generation only is missing the power of Jesus. Amen?
There's just something special about coming together on a Sunday morning to sing songs and praise to our God, gather with one another, dedicate a baby, hear a message from the Word. Just something special about all that, and I'm just grateful that we have that privilege and opportunity. Let's seek the Lord in prayer to close for today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this building. We thank you for each and every one that came this morning to be a part of this. Lord, to just sing song to you, to open up the Word and see what it has to say us. And yes, it can be challenging at times, and sometimes we have to really think about the deep truths of God and where do we stand with them, Lord. So soften our hearts and open our ears. Have us dive into that Word and study it to see it and find it. And Lord, you will reveal it to us, and we thank you for that. So Lord, just be with us today as we came and gathered. We worshiped you, and Lord, has that carry out throughout our day and throughout our week, Lord, to just honor and glorify you in everything that we do. Lord, have your Spirit just move among us and continue to do that. Lord, we love you, and we pray all of this in Jesus' precious name, amen.